Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't take polls from the pulpit, but if I did, and I asked how many of you needed to hear Jesus' encouragement today to stop worrying, I think every hand would probably go up. I know mine would. And that makes sense because last Sunday we talked about the sinful flesh that we all still carry around with us, the original sin that corrupts our old man. And on Wednesday we noted in our service that original sin includes both the lack of something and the presence of something. Remember, original sin includes the presence of sinful, evil desires that desire contrary to what God wants. We focused on those evil desires on Wednesday. But original sin also includes the absence or the lack of something. It includes the lack of true fear of God, true trust in God, true love for God. Today's gospel focuses on that aspect of original sin, the lack of fear, love, and trust in God that plagues our old man, our sinful flesh. We worry by nature. Worry and anxiety are the natural consequences of the lack of fear, love, and trust in God that plagues our nature. Since we are worriers by nature, and since our natural self doesn't trust in God, it has to go searching for something or someone else to trust in, for another God to serve. And in most cases, we can lump those things together under the term mammon. Now, first, what does it mean to serve a God? Well, it means, as Luther explains in the first commandment, to fear, love, or trust in someone or something above all things. Trusting in someone or something as the ultimate source of all good, to supply you with every need, to save you from all trouble, to rescue you from every disease. And what is mammon? Well, mammon includes money and earthly wealth, but it also includes all earthly solutions, all human efforts to supply our needs and to solve our problems. What are those needs and problems? Well, for most of human history, people have lived much closer to the edge of survival than we do here today, especially in America. Where is my next meal coming from? Where will I take shelter tonight? Where will I get a single set of clothing from? People in the world still ask those questions and face those needs daily, but they're not the questions or the problems of the average American. So what other needs of this life make people anxious, make people worried? Well, how to avoid illness? How to find a job or keep one? How to find a spouse? How to escape government oppression? Will I have enough to live on when I'm old? What kind of world will my children grow up in? Now, mammon comes in many forms, offering earthly solutions to all these problems, solutions other than seeking first the kingdom of God. The left in our country is trying to be people's mammon, and many are their servants. We'll provide the vaccines. You be sure to take them. Over and over and over until we tell you to stop. No questions allowed in any of this. Serve us with your masks, and you can participate in society, and you'll be safe from COVID. And you may also need to turn against and snitch on your neighbor and your fellow citizens in order to be good servants of ours. And people dutifully comply because they're filled with anxiety and with worry. But they're told, if you just serve mammon properly, you'll be fine. Well, of course, that's a lie. But that's always the case. Mammon always promises, if you make me your God, I'll also be your Savior. But mammon is always a false god and no Savior at all. The right has its own version of mammon. The Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, they'll save us. The courts, they'll save us. The right politicians or the right candidates for office, the right amount of activism, our own might, our own strength, our own zeal to resist the tyranny, our guns and our determination, they'll save us. But those things too are forms of mammon when we seek them first instead of the kingdom of God, when we trust in them to solve our problems for us. There's a still more insidious form of this service of mammon. I'll call it the American God. He isn't really the God of the Bible or the Christ who reigns in a hidden way at God's right hand. He's a God who holds up the Bible but doesn't really care what it teaches. He holds up America as his chosen kingdom on earth. To him, seek first the kingdom of God means seek first to be a patriotic American in order to turn America into God's kingdom on earth. He's the God with whom many Americans believe they have made a covenant or that they must make one. I hear it on the radio all the time. How wrong that is. Man can't make a covenant with God. Only God can make a covenant with man, and he's only done it a few times in human history. After the flood, he put a rainbow in the sky as the seal of that covenant with mankind, not to destroy the earth by a flood ever again. With Abraham, and sealing that on Mount Sinai with Moses, that old covenant. Then in the upper room on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, Jesus made a new covenant in his blood, which we call the New Testament. And then, whenever anyone is baptized in the name of Christ, there is God making a covenant with the baptized, not the other way around. Any other supposed covenants with God are frauds in service to the American God or mammon. What other forms of mammon exist? Well, drugs, alcohol, music, TV, videos, gaming, porn, wherever people turn in their hearts for refuge, for rescue, for salvation, for relief from their anxiety and worry, and none of it works. Not really. And all the while you while away your time in worry and anxiety, there is your Heavenly Father quietly feeding the birds and quietly clothing the lilies and the grass of the field with flowers and calling out to you through the words of Jesus. Pay attention to that. Pay attention. He's your Heavenly Father, Jesus says to his disciples there in the Sermon on the Mount. He's not speaking to the whole world right now. Not everyone can say he or she has God for a father. Yes, God is the creator of all, and he is willing to become the father of all by adoption. But he is the loving, kind, merciful father to those who cling to his Son, Jesus Christ. And he loves his Son, Jesus. And just as he loves his Son, Jesus, so he loves all who are united to Jesus by baptism and by faith. So if he provides for the birds without their worry, And if he sees to it that the grass of the field is well clothed, without its anxiety or frantic scrambling for solutions, you are to conclude, as Jesus himself says, that your Father cares infinitely more for you and will do infinitely more for you. O you of little faith. When Jesus says those words to his worried people, it's supposed to smart a little. But it shouldn't drive anyone to despair, because that same Jesus doesn't drive his worried disciples away. Instead, he corrects them in love. He knows the worry and anxiety that his people still struggle with. He knows we're weak. He knows we're flesh. He knows we get caught up in the world's anxiety and that we're susceptible to the temptation of mammon with its enticing promise to fix our earthly problems and supply our earthly needs, although it never does. You'd think we'd learn. But there is invitation and forgiveness in that word of Jesus, too, for those who shake their head and throw up their hands at their own worry and their own anxiety. There is acceptance of the sinner, not because we're worthy of God's acceptance, but because Jesus is, and you're with him. And then there's direction for us from Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does that mean? What does it look like? Well, first it means stop looking for the kingdom of God here on earth. Don't look for it. Don't try to create it. It means stop seeking salvation from earthly sources and from human sources. But more than that, it means stop focusing on your earthly problems and needs entirely. Don't waste your time with it, just as the birds don't waste their time with it, or the flowers. Instead, turn your attention to God's kingdom. Turn your attention to hearing and pondering and spreading the word of God and the gospel of Christ. Turn to the unseen reign of Christ at the right hand of God and to the coming of God's kingdom at the end of this age. Turn your attention to God's righteousness, which is your greatest need, to be clothed with that, and which God himself promises to provide free of charge through faith in Christ. Focus on living a righteous life according to God's commandments, and turn to God in prayer. As Peter writes, "Cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you." And then there's such a great promise here, if we would just take it to heart. "And all these things will be added to you, given to you in addition to the kingdom of God and his righteousness." What things? Today's provision of food. Today's provision of clothing. Today's provision of shelter. Divine providence, divine guidance, divine protection, divine comfort, the opening of just the right door at just the right time. Today's provision of whatever you need for today, because your Father will take care of it for you. It's what we pray for every time we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. We aren't praying for tomorrow's bread. We aren't supposed to pray for tomorrow's bread, only for today. As Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. It is enough for each day to have its own trouble. Now, Jesus' promise here doesn't mean you're not supposed to go to work or work hard when you do. It doesn't mean you don't do your chores at home or study hard in school or participate in society or help your neighbor in need. It doesn't mean you don't tend to your health or even take a vaccine. It means You don't rely on those things to solve your problems. You don't do those things in order to provide what you need. You do the things God has given you to do according to your vocations in pursuit of His kingdom and His righteousness, and you leave the worrying and the providing up to Him. Those who serve mammon are sowing to their flesh, as Paul talked about in today's epistle, and they will, as he says, reap corruption from their flesh. But those who seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness are the ones who sow to the Spirit. And Paul says they will reap eternal life from the Spirit. It's hard to do that every day. To wake up and not think about all the problems you need to solve and all the things you need to get. To turn your thoughts instead to the things of God and to let Him take care of all the rest. But the Word of Jesus and the body and blood of Jesus will give you the strength you need for today. And the Spirit of God will keep hammering away at your perspective of the world, turning it from serving the false god Mammon, who is a worthless god and no Savior at all, to the true God, to look to Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has made you His dear child through holy baptism, and who is truly the Savior of all, and especially of those who believe. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.